Okay, so we're reading 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 11, which is up there on the screen. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. And to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we gather here together, and we're reminded of that one Spirit. And I pray now for Graham as he speaks to us. Thank you for him serving in this way. Thank you for him and Kathy serving in many ways, in prayer ministry, in the church, and in many ways. And we pray now that you would speak through him by your Spirit, and that we would have ears and hearts ready to hear what you want to say to us individually. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. And thank you, Laura. This is the third and final message in our mini-series on the spiritual gifts, and David has asked me to follow on from his teaching last week on the speaking gifts to look at the remaining gifts listed in the passage we've read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 8 to 10, as well as the serving gifts that are listed elsewhere in the New Testament. And for me, it's a real joy and an honor to do this. But I need you to know that when it comes to spiritual gifts, I'm no expert. There's only one expert on the spiritual gifts, and you've guessed it, he's the Holy Spirit himself. And I'm just grateful for the privilege of seeing the Spirit working in my life and in the lives of other people. You know, the gifts of the Spirit mustn't be confused with the fruit of the Spirit that we've studied recently as a church in Galatians chapter 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, the fruit of the Spirit, if you think about it, that looks like Jesus, doesn't it? It's the character of Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of Jesus. But when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, that's the conduct of Jesus. And it's very easy to get them confused. And you see, the Holy Spirit gives to each Christian, each of us who are Christians, some ability or abilities to minister like Jesus did when he was on earth, for us to be able to serve him here and now. But the fruit of the Spirit, your nine a day, is in, there actually is, I think it's one fruit with nine flavors because it's the character of Jesus, but the fruit of the Spirit is in each Christian, and hopefully it's growing in each Christian. Whereas the spiritual gifts, they are distributed to different people. We don't all get them. We all should have the character of Jesus, but the gifts, the conduct of Jesus is different for each person in the body of the church. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit named in our reading here are supernatural abilities. These are not some sort of natural human abilities which God has somehow taken over for special use. And neither are they abilities that have been learnt by the users. They are what the Greek word is, charismata. And Paul uses that in this passage. And from that we get our English word charismatic. And the beginning of the word is charis, which means grace. And grace speaks of the beauty and the bounty of our God, doesn't it? So spiritual gifts, charismata, are the products of God's generous grace to you and me. They're completely undeserved, they're completely unmerited, and often they're completely unexpected as well, because God is doing something by giving us different gifts so that we can serve him. Well, let's look more at this list of gifts here in verses 8 to 10, these gifts of God's grace. Verse 10, to another, miraculous powers. I was once invited by a Christian holiday company to speak and minister to a group skiing in the Black Forest mountains of Germany. And one afternoon, as the group of skiers were returning to the church to take them back to the center where we were staying, it started to snow very heavily, and visibility worsened, and it turned out to be what's technically known as a whiteout. And the ski lifts on the mountains stopped running, and time went by, and we were still missing 3 out of the 80 people on our group. And with every minute that passed, those with me on the coach were becoming more and more anxious about their friends. Visibility was almost zero. However, were these 3 missing people to make it back to the coach? And I was prompted by the Lord just to get off the coach and just to start to pray. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of what Jesus had said at the foot of another mountain, when he said, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a grain of mustard, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And I think that was an example of what David was saying last week, of listening before speaking, listening to what God is saying before we use a gift. And I walked in the direction of this snow-enveloped mountain. And I made sure I was out of earshot of the rest of the group. And I then put my hands to my mouth, and I shouted at the mountain. And I said, I command this mountain, in the name of Jesus Christ, to give up the 3 missing people. And as my words disappeared into the blizzard, 3 faint figures came towards me out of the whiteout. They were so glad to see me. And they told me that they had no idea where they were, and they'd almost given up hope of making it back to the coach. Instead, though, God had worked a miracle in moving this Black Forest mountain to give up our friends back into safety, back to their friends. And what happened that afternoon is an illustration of a gift of God of miraculous powers. It's a miracle. What is a miracle? Well, a miracle is a natural event occurring in an unnatural way with a supernatural source. A miracle is a natural event occurring in an unnatural way with a supernatural source. Let me explain. The miracle I witnessed that day was a natural event. 3 skiers from a holiday party coming off a mountain at the end of the day skiing. Very natural. But it occurred in an unnatural way. The people didn't know where they were at the time and how they were going to be reunited back to the group. That was unnatural. And the source was definitely supernatural. God did it with his almighty power. Praise him. And then there's the spiritual gift of healing. Verse 9, to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. The spirit of healing is when God is pleased to use us, you and me, as human channels for him to cure illness and restore health other than by medical or natural means. And the spiritual gift of knowledge is often combined with the spiritual gift of healing. The Holy Spirit supernaturally gives information to someone that they weren't aware of before. It's new information, knowledge. And it's usually knowledge about a physical condition of somebody else around who needs, God wants to heal. And I remember in a previous church, one of our youth leaders was healed as a result of God identifying him through a word of knowledge given to a visiting speaker. And the visiting speaker believed that God showed him that there was someone up in the balcony who was suffering from a spinal defect, and that the Lord wanted to heal them. And he shared that with the meeting, and the youth leader actually had struggled with back problems and had several medical investigations. And the speaker that night, having given the word, he actually very boldly pointed to my friend, the youth leader, and said, "Is it you?" Imagine that, eh? Is it you? And it was him. And the youth leader was prayed for, and he was gloriously healed right then and there. And he later, sometimes the youth leader that was healed, sometimes later accompanied me when I was doing schools ministry. We'd go into schools, and he would get to tell classes how God healed him. And he was able to show the children his x-rays of before he was healed, and he had paid for one after he was healed, before and after God's gift of healing. You know, over the years, I've heard and witnessed many marvelous testimonies to healing. But the ones that thrill me the most are not the healings that are simply testified, but the ones where the healing is verified. And can I say that if doctors find something wrong with you, and that God then goes on to heal you, that you go back to the doctor to get it verified. You know, that's in the Bible. Jesus did it in Matthew chapter 8 when he healed a leper. And some of you will already have this gift. You already have the gift of healing. And if you do, like Jesus, you're going to have a deep compassion for sick people. And if you have this gift, you'll also have a deep conviction that God can heal anybody, and that your gift may actually be tied to the next gift, which is the gift of faith in verse 9. To another is given the gift faith by the same Spirit. And I need to say that this isn't saving faith. This is different. Saving faith is what God gives us when we first come to Jesus. When we first accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we believe. That's saving faith. Neither is this everyday trusting God faith that we live by day, bringing our needs to Him, trusting Him to watch over us. But people with a spiritual gift of faith know what God will do in a certain situation. They know what God will do, not just what God can do or could do. There's a difference, isn't there? They can see God about to do something that others can't see. They know in their knower, they know in their spirit when God is about to act. They're full of hope, certainty, and confidence. In the Bible, in Acts chapter 3, after Jesus had ascended back into heaven, and after the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the church on the day of Pentecost, Peter and John go into the temple to pray, when a man who's disabled from birth asks them for money. He's not asking them for healing. And Peter fixes his eyes on the beggar, and he says, "Look at us." And the man, thinking that he's hooked a donor, he looks up expectantly at Peter, and to his astonishment, he hears these words, "In the name of Jesus Christ, walk." And Peter acts in faith. He knows that with the power of the risen Jesus, coupled with the man's response to his outstretched hand, God is going to strengthen the man's ankles and feet. And the man jumps to his feet, and he begins walking and praising, walking and leaping and praising God. And Peter knew, you see, that as he walked past, that this was the day that God would heal the man. It was like he was saying to the man, "Man, I don't have any silver or gold, but what I have, faith, I have that faith in God to work in your life, I give that to you." You know, the gift of faith is not blind optimism. Neither is it the power of positive thinking. No, this is a supernatural, spiritual ability to believe God will act in a certain situation. And then the fourth one of these, the ability to distinguish spirits. To another, distinguishing between spirits. This is the God-given ability to know with absolute assurance whether the source of a certain behavior or ideas is either from God, it's divine, or it's human, it's just from a man's or woman's mind, or whether it's from hell, it's something from Satan. The ability to distinguish which source. And this gift too will occasionally work alongside other spiritual giftings like the gift of healing or the gift of leadership. And the spiritual gift of discernment of spirits is actually quite necessary when the elders of the church have to weigh a prophetic word. It's the elders' responsibilities to check that it really is God speaking, and it's not the sanctified imagination of the person who's come with it. All right? I was once asked by some Christian leaders when I was abroad to meet and pray with a man who was sadly suicidal. He was a Christian believer, and he was very suicidal. And the Holy Spirit graciously revealed to me that the source was not actually a depressed mind, but it was a demonic presence. And as I began to minister to this Christian man, the truth of this spiritual gift of discernment was confirmed when an evil spirit started to use the man's voice to threaten my family. The evil spirit named my wife and my three children, who are back in England. The man had never met them. He didn't know their names. And the evil spirit told me that polio and other diseases would afflict my family. But in that split second, the Holy Spirit gave into my mind a word of wisdom. Wisdom is seeing things as God sees them. And into my mind, this is what came. The thought that Satan is a liar. And therefore, I should now ignore what the demonic spirit was saying. Jesus says of Satan in John chapter 8, he's the father of lies. There's no truth in him. And this was merely a trick of the enemy to stop me from ministering to the man in Jesus' name. And seeing him gloriously delivered from the death spirits that were afflicting him. Praise God, I pressed through because of that encouragement that this was just a trick of the enemy. And this man was gloriously delivered that day from his suicidal thoughts. Hallelujah. Well, these are more extraordinary gifts. And I want to say to anyone who might think that these don't happen any longer, oh yes, they do. Because God hasn't changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we reject any thought that God can't do these things because, by definition, if you're God, you get to do whatever you want. Psalm 115 says this, our God is in heaven and he does whatever pleases him. And we call this God's omnipotence. God is almighty. God is all-powerful. God is able to heal. God is able to do miracles. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible or too difficult for him. But that doesn't mean that God has to act in a certain way. God is free to do or not do as he determines. And God decides what's best, as with these spiritual gifts. He decides who should have this gift and who should have that gift, because he's God. It's his will that rules. God chooses what he'll do, and we call this God's sovereignty. So God is almighty, and he's also sovereign. Hallelujah. God is God. God is not my servant. I am his servant. God does not exist for me. I exist for him. God is not answerable to me. I'm answerable to him. I am always in his debt. He is never in my debt. And all his blessings, all his gifts, all his benefits to you and me, they're all of grace. And I, for one, am forever grateful that we have such a God. Well, the spiritual gifts listed here in 1 Corinthians verses 8 to 10, they're supernatural. They're not natural abilities. And in my opinion, they're given after your birth and also given after your second birth. They're given to born-again Christian believers as God chooses. However, every good gift, every good talent, every good ability or service comes from God, doesn't it? And in that sense, because God's a spirit, it's a spiritual gift. And we thank the Lord for all and everything he gives us. And as we've often sing, he's our good, good father. He gives good things. It was Eric Liddell, the gifted Olympic runner and Christian believer in the film Chariots of Fire. I think he said it to his sister. He said this, "I believe God made me for a purpose, but I also believe he made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." You see, the Holy Spirit wants to use our God-given natural abilities for his purposes. And the Holy Spirit can use whatever you had from birth. He can enhance and develop your existing talents for his work, as well as giving you a brand new specific spiritual ministry which you've never had before, or to build up the work of his kingdom, build up the church, make us effective for Jesus. I want to say this, it doesn't matter when you received your particular gift, but it does matter what you do with your particular gift. You see, spiritual gifts are not toys. Spiritual gifts are tools. Spiritual gifts are tools, not toys. They're to do God's work, to build with, not a toy to be amused with and play with. The Lord Jesus, by his Spirit, gives gifts to build up, he says, to strengthen and to encourage his body, the church. So let's look briefly at some of the other spiritual giftings and ministries listed elsewhere in the New Testament. Let's look at the gift of serving. In Romans chapter 12, verse 7, Paul says, "If your gift is serving, then serve." And Peter says, "If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides." This is also known as the gift of helps. The New Testament word here means to do service. It's the word that we get the word deacon from. It conveys the idea of doing practical things in order to be of service to other people. And the person who has this gift just loves giving practical assistance wherever it's needed. You know, they're the person who turn up at the church office and say, "What can I do?" And you're welcome if that's you, always. Is that right, David? Yeah. Right, and maybe God has given you this special ability, and you can easily spot when things need doing. And I want you to know it's an invaluable gift, because for two reasons. Number one, it gets the job done that needs doing. And number two, it frees up other people to do their giftings and to do their service. As an aside, I ought to say that whether you have this spiritual gift or not, you can still lend a hand when something needs doing. I'm sure Johnny Holman, if he was to ask you to move a chair or two, and you say, "Sorry, Johnny, that's not my gift," he may well say to you, "That's fine, just wait while I lay my hands on you and pray for the spiritual gift of helps." And then there's the gift of giving. If it's giving, in Romans 12, 7, Paul says, then give generously. And we know this is a supernatural gift because people don't easily give away their money. And, you know, people with the spiritual gift of giving see themselves as stewards. They realize that all their money, all their possessions belong to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus has given it to them to distribute to others. You know, I've known Christians who are excellent business people. And the Holy Spirit has blessed them with an amazing ability to make lots of money. And they know that it is God who's at work through their work, so that God can work through them by them then being able to bless and give to God's work. And it brings them great joy, and it blesses other people, and it pleases the Lord. However, I've also come across other people who are not rich business people, and they have this same gift, the gift of giving. And it doesn't matter if you're poor or wealthy, you can still have the gift of giving. You remember what Jesus said as he watched that poor widow putting two small coins into the temple, just to say, notice, Jesus counts what we put into the offering. Just a thought. And this poor widow, he says, has put more into the treasury than all the others. She, out of her poverty, put in everything. And also, if you have this gift of giving, people may well refer to you as a generous person. That can be an indication that you have the gift of giving. You're probably a gift giver. You love giving people gifts. You know, you're the sort of person who wishes it was Christmas every day so you can give another gift, you know? I was thinking, at this time in our city, when needs are rising with the rising costs of living, God can mightily use and multiply your gift of giving as he did that day, Jesus did, with a boy's lunch of fish and loaves. And then there's the gift of hospitality. 1 Peter chapter 4, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, he says. Well, as with the gift of helps, this is something everyone here can do, even to offering a glass of water on a hot day. But there are some Christians who the Holy Spirit has especially anointed with the gift of hospitality. My lovely wife, Kathy, here, has the gift of hospitality. I don't. I just submit to the gift, as you can tell. And you know if you've got this gift of hospitality because you're the person who records the TV programs on the food, you know, all the food programs. You know, you're the one who goes to Smith's or goes online to Amazon and browses the recipe books. You know, you take notes from Mary Berry and from Jamie Oliver. You know, you have picnic forks. You have pastry forks and pickle forks and fish forks and fondue forks and olive forks and oyster forks and toasting forks and beef forks and salad forks and tuning forks. No, not tuning forks. You know, I can tell who this is because I can hear you laughing, you know. You're the person who's got cloth serviettes and napkin rings. You love seeing people come together to eat, to drink, to talk, to share. You love seeing people make and strengthen friendships in your home. You'll invite people you don't know very well to make them your friends. You love to have an open home. It makes you happy. Let me tell you, Jesus had the gift of hospitality. He got into trouble for it, didn't he? Spending too much time with tax collectors and dubious ladies. He spent so much time eating and drinking with others that the religious people, and it's always them, criticized him, calling him a drunkard and a glutton. You know, one of the most famous paintings in the world by Leonardo da Vinci pictures Jesus hosting the Last Supper. And every time we share bread and wine here, it's the Lord offering us hospitality. He's hosting his supper. Jesus is hospitable. He's welcomed you and me into the family of God. And right now he's preparing the most lavish feast, the greatest party ever in heaven. Offer hospitality. And then finally for now, the gift of mercy. Romans 12 verse 8, if your gift is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You know, the person with this gift has a heart of compassion for hurting and suffering people. They sympathize and empathize to help others get through tough times. They don't judge people. They don't inquire. They don't question how people end up the way they do. They can walk in someone else's shoes. They can carry their burdens. They really want to make a difference because they love them. And some people overflow with mercy. And Paul says that they should do it cheerfully. And the word cheerfully in Greek literally means shining brightly. And the parable of the Good Samaritan is the shining example of someone with the gift of mercy. Well, why belong to a local church? Well, one reason is to experience mercy. You know, true loving Christian fellowship is a place of grace where mistakes are rubbed out, not rubbed in. And it happens when mercy wins out over judgment. Friends, we all need mercy because we all stumble and we need help getting back on track. So we need to offer one another mercy and we need to receive mercy 2 Corinthians 2, when people sin, you should forgive and comfort them so they won't give up and despair. And to understand mercy, we look at the cross of Jesus. It's the place where justice and mercy meet. Justice says we've all sinned, and consequently, we all deserve eternal punishment, all of us. But Jesus went to that cross, and he substituted himself in our place for our sins. And the result is that God forgives everyone who accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And God forgives me. And what do I receive? I receive mercy. Another reason for belonging to a local church like this is for you to discover the purposes for your God-given gifts and abilities. You know, there's something for everyone to contribute, as the Bible says, for the common good. No one has been called to merely sit around. Everyone can do something. If you're not sure what your gift is, there's a link on the weekly email to a couple of gift surveys. Or better still, why don't you speak to one of the elders about what your gift might be? You know, the fact is that the filling of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts are to enable Christians like you and me, for us to serve and minister like Jesus did when he was on earth. God doesn't give gifts to make us look good, but to make Jesus look good. Not to make us great, but to make Jesus great. And in the New Testament Bible, the word service and ministry are the same word. The word servant and minister are the same word. We're all called to the work. We're all called to serve. Don't let the devil tell you that you're not needed or not gifted. It was Mother Teresa who said, "You can do what I cannot do, and I can do what you cannot do. Together, though, we can do great things." Amen? Let's pray as the band come back. Thanks, Dan. Lord, we thank and acknowledge that there is one God, and that you are that God. And we know that you are a good God, and you have loved us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you that you planted this church in this city to praise your name, to share your gospel love, and to serve your purposes. Lord, this morning we pray that as a local church, all our service would be for you, Jesus. Glorify you, Father, and that all our service would be conducted in you, Holy Spirit. And we pray that Holland Road Church might be a people that are gifted, directed, used, and empowered by the Holy Spirit, so that we might increasingly serve like Jesus did when he lived among people like we do. And we ask this in his great name and for his glory. Amen.